men are pretty obviously part of the problem with domestic violence, but it's your view that they're also a very important part of the solution. Could you talk about that?
Most violence against women is perpetrated by men, but most men are not violent. But we are silent about the violence other men perpetrate, and that silence is as much of the problem as the violence is. Actually, the men who perpetrate the violence, such as domestic violence, rely on us to be silent about it. I mean, if I was in any main street in any city in the United States and I walk over to a man right now, if I'm in Michigan, any city or town in Michigan, and I see a man hitting his wife or girlfriend, and I walk over to him and I say to him, knock it off, most men are going to tell me to mind my business, because that's what we're conditioned to do. The collective socialization of manhood says that we're not supposed to confront other men as it relates to how they deal with the women in their lives. So, yes, if since we're most of the problem, we're going to be most of the solution.
And how do you break through that inhibition to intervene when you need to?
Well, so we do that really by educating men. What we find is, and first of all, let me just state, because this is really important, when we talk about addressing men's behaviors, we at A Call to Men really want to make clear that this is never an indictment on manhood, but an invitation to men. But we do have to challenge some of the things that we've been taught as men, part of that collective socialization that I mentioned, which is that we've all been taught on some level, every man, and we pass these teachings down to our boys, that women and girls have less value than men and boys. We see it every day in all types of situations, whether it's on the sports field or whether it's in the business world, language is used that's put down women and girls, and actually men are often even not only put down, but even those words are used to humiliate men and boys. So the issue of less value is something that we're all taught. The collective socialization of manhood teaches us that. It teaches us that the women are the property of men on some level, like the example I gave around if there was violence in the community and a man went over to another man and said something to him about it, and that we are also taught to objectify women, that that's part of the way men educate each other and pass that down to our boys and how to interact with women, is that we're taught to distance ourselves from the experiences of women, except from if that experience is sexual. That's really where, especially when we pass it down from one generation to the next, men to boys, we teach our boys that that's what you're supposed to be interested in, not about being their friends or about humanity of women and girls, but really about that sexual conquest. So the way we do that is really to invite men into the conversation. And honestly, when we do that, men are really open to it and really thirsty for it. What we've been taught as men is that a good man takes care of the people in his life, takes care of the women in his life, his wife, his girlfriend, his daughter, his mother, women in his life, in his circle. That's who we really have been taught to have responsibility for. But we have to go further than that. We have to really take more responsibility for manhood, how we raise our boys, how we talk to other men, how we move in the world as men. We have to take more responsibility of that. And at this time in 2019, we're really at a point where we are reflecting much more on what manhood means, what masculinity means, and it's an important time because it allows us to reflect but also to reset.
Your organization, A Call to Men, is devoted to promoting healthy masculinity. How do you define that, healthy? What makes a man a healthy man in that sense?
That's a great question. And our vision and mission, speak a moment about that. Our vision is to create a world where all men and boys are loving and respectful, and all women and girls are valued and safe. And we do that by, as you say, promoting a healthy, respectful manhood and shift attitudes and behaviors that devalue women and girls and other marginalized groups, and specifically the LGBTQ, trans, gender nonconforming members of our community that are often abused and disrespected and devalued in our society. So the way that we define healthy, respectful manhood is to a number of things, to fully express our full range of emotions and allow our boys to do the same. Do not say things that denigrate women and girls or other marginalized groups. don't feel the need to always be in charge, always have to make every decision, always be in control. Ask for help when needed. You know, one of the things that we as men don't do enough of and is ask for help. We don't go and get support for mental health, right? So we don't go in often for physical issues that arise in our lives. We often put off because we just don't ask for help. We're not taught to be vulnerable in that way. And as a result, the suicide rate is much higher among men. Suicide rate is also much higher among male teens than female teens. Men die about 5 years earlier than women, dying from stress-related illnesses. So when we promote a healthy, respectful manhood that values all, it not only benefits women and girls, but also benefits men and boys.
Now, you know, there's a lot there in individual responsibility and what individuals should do. What role do you think, though, the community, say the community of Kalamazoo, should play in making that happen?
Well, the community of Kalamazoo is really not different than any other community. It's really that we're at the point now that we're really addressing the issue of men's violence, men's attitudes and behaviors through this lens of healthy and respectful manhood, and that the community in Kalamazoo, just like any other community in our country, most men in that community are good guys wanting to do the right thing, well-meaning, well-intentioned. But simply, we've been conditioned not to see this as a man's problem. Domestic violence, sexual assault has always been seen as a women's problem because women have been at the forefront of addressing the issue. And it really is not going to end unless men become part of the primary efforts to end it. As I said before, if we are most of the problem, we're going to be most of the solution. But we need to do that alongside and even at times with leadership from women, because women experience us in ways that we don't understand even that. In other words, as a man, I shouldn't be making decisions for what's best for women in women's lives because I'm not a woman. And so we need to really have that voice, and the community of Kalamazoo really needs to also, in my opinion, in our opinion at A Call to Men, is really follow the leadership of what women need in that community for men. So part of the conversation we'll be having is really opening that up and really making people aware that it's not men coming in to save the day. It's really about men listening to the issues and then responding appropriately.
Are you seeing change in social attitudes, especially amongst men, about these issues?
Absolutely we are. As I said, most men really want to do the right thing and just have not been informed. What we've continued to pass down from one generation to the next are these attitudes and beliefs that devalue women and girls. And I'll just give you an example of that. Most men don't realize that when we say things, even to our boys, like he's learning how to throw a football, it's football season, and he's teaching his son how to throw a football, and he's encouraging him to throw harder, and then he says something like, you have to throw harder than that, son. You know, you're throwing like a girl, right? Things like that. And girls throw just fine, but everyone knows the answer to that question, right? If we say, you know, everyone knows how that sentence ends because we've all been taught that in one way or another. So what does that little boy leave that circumstance thinking that girls are equal to him or less than him? Of course, he thinks that girls are less than him. And we give these messages all the time. So when we raise this into the awareness of men, they say, oh, gee, I do things like that all the time. Because I used to do things like that also, Andy. I've done it just like anyone else in our society. Most men in our society have, because that's what we've been taught to do. So when we bring it into the awareness of men, men want to do better. When we talk to men about talking to people in their lives, using their influence and their platform to really speak more about healthy and respectful manhood and raising awareness in their community and in their family, men want to step up and do more, but it's also about personal choice and personal accountability, as you said, and wanting to do better. So we have to we have to reflect on ourselves and our behaviors and how what we've been doing and maybe our thoughts have been informed by gender in a way that's not helpful. you know, I'm very excited to come to Kalamazoo and to share the message and work of A Call to Men. People can go to our website, which is calltomen.org, and get lots of more information, including information on our curriculum that we wrote with Scholastic. It's for middle school and high school boys, so anyone who works with youth might want to check that out. It's free. It's a webinar. They can go through the webinar, and then they become certified in the curriculum. We have a TED Talk that's GQ Magazine said is one of the top 10 TED Talks every man should see. So I would really encourage folks to visit our website, and our social media is at A Call to Men.